Now it's time for our Wisdom Watch. That's the time in the program when we hear from those who've made an impact through their work. Today we're speaking with author Walter Mosley. With more than 24 books to his credit, he's placed unforgettable black characters at the center of American fiction, as lovers, as thugs, as bad guys and good guys, and guys who are a little of each. Mosley's latest work, Known to Evil, is just out. It is the second novel starring Private Eye Leonid McGill chasing a killer in contemporary New York City. Currently, Mosley's also lending his voice to an effort by the American Library Association to introduce young people to books with a diverse range of characters and writers. And Walter Mosley joins us now. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about your hero. And how do you pronounce his name? Leonid?
Leonid McGill.
Leonid McGill. Okay. Mm-hmm. In the novel, McGill often refers to himself as a bad guy trying to turn over a new leaf and become a better man. And I was just wondering, you know, why that is. You know, bad guys don't do so bad in our fiction generally.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he isn't thinking of himself as being a fictional character. He thinks he's for real. And in his for real world, he realizes that he's hurt a lot of people. And when this became very apparent to him, he had no other choice than to turn around and try to be a different kind of guy, to be, as he says, above board.
Now, is redemption inherently interesting to you?
Yeah, I think that redemption is the history of the Western world, starting with Christianity and going before it. I mean, we're all seeking redemption. That's the weight that's put on every single human being.
And the love relationships are complicated in this one. Let me just try to unpack it. Leonid, who is black, is married to Katrina, who's white. They haven't been faithful to each other for years. And in fact, as the novel opens, I don't think I'm giving too much away, but Leonid is nursing a broken heart because his girlfriend, who's another kind of interesting mix, has dumped him for another man. And he realizes,
well, she hasn't dumped him.
He
stopped being with her when his wife came back because he felt that's what he should be doing, this whole notion of redemption.
The other piece, of course, and I mentioned the race of each of these characters just because I just think it's so interesting. I mean, in a lot of people, as I mentioned in the introduction, you've really created these unforgettable characters in some of these earlier series whose African-American-ness is central in some ways, not so central in some ways, but you've just enlarged this kind of scope of characters and what they're allowed to do and be and think about. But in this series, and in this novel in particular, the relationships, the identities are all over the place. And I'm just wondering, what's that like? Is it easier in a way emotionally to kind of open up the spectrum? Is it harder in some ways?
Well, you know, the other day I was asked by a journalist about a black writers' conference. I was asked, is it valuable to have a black writers' conference in post-racial America? And you know, my response is, of course, well, we don't live in post-racial America or post-racial anything else. But it is true that we kind of live in a meta-racial state where race is kind of raised up kind of ethereally above the clay of our bodies and blended and enmeshed in itself, and that things are so complex and culture is so complex and how we deal with each other is so complex that it's hard to tell who is who and what is what. So, but in everyday talk, it all comes out. You know, one of the things you didn't say is that of the three children that Leonid and Katrina have, two of them were not fathered by Leonid. She says they were, but they weren't. One is the daughter of a Burmese jeweler, and one is the daughter of some African that she had an affair with. They're not his kids. You could look at them and see they're not his kids. But they are his kids. Twill is his favorite son.
Well, I want to give it all away, you know, trying to leave something, you know.
There's a lot in that
book.
I could talk about it for the next 3 hours and still be a lot in that book.
One of the things I'm curious about is I was raised in New York, and these kind of relationships with people from all over the world who are kind of all mixed up is very normal to me. And I'm just wondering how people in other parts of the country are seeing that. Does that sound real to them, too?
Well, it's very normal to everybody. You know, no matter where you are, the mixtures are extraordinary. I mean, the designation octoroon, meaning one-eighth black, came in Louisiana 200 years ago. The notion of the mixtures of people in the United States is just, it's always been here.
But that might be historically true, but that doesn't mean that it's historically understood. One of the reasons I'm thinking about it is that, you know, the immigration issue is once again coming to the fore. A lot of people are very upset about it, and a lot of people are saying, well, I don't want the country to change. And so you're hearing some, you know, there's that piece.
Well, yeah, that doesn't mean you deny what's happening. It just means you could say what you want and you don't want. And people get upset when the Polish come to America, or the Jews come to America, or the Irish come to America, or the Swahilis come to America. I mean, we know that this is the world that we live in. Whether we like it or not is another question. But we know.
Do you mind if I ask, how are African-American writers, members of your African-American audience, reacting to the direction in which your work has moved?
It's very rare that I try to kind of underscore who I am. But in one respect, I'm one of the only writers in the history of America, possibly the world, who writes about black male heroes. And I mean heroes. I'm not talking about protagonists. And I'm not talking about cartoon characters like Shaft. I'm talking about black male heroes, real people who are real heroes, like Achilles is a real hero. And black people love that. They love to have heroes that they can identify with from all different kinds, from, Easy to Maus to Leonid to Socrates to Fearless Jones to Paris. Any of these characters are people that you can identify with and agree with their vision of the world and even their experience of the world. So I haven't had any problems at all.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Our guest is Walter Mosley. We're talking about his latest novel, Known to Evil, and whatever else is on his mind. I want to take a look back for a moment at one of the characters you just mentioned, your very famous Easy Rawlins. He was the star of 11 of your earlier books, 10 novels and one short story collection, and Oscar-winning actor Denzel Washington portrayed him, for example, in the 1995 film version of Devil in a Blue Dress. I just thought we'd play a short clip just because, it's Walter Mosley and Denzel. What the heck? Here it is.
For example, one of the white guys pulls a double shift. Says he's too tired to work overtime. You don't fire them.
That's all you have to say.
No, that's not all. I need to pay my mortgage and eat. I need a house to live in. I need to put clothes on my back, Mr. Giacomo. I need the job.
I'm sorry, fella. I gotta get back to work.
My name's not fella.
Huh?
My name's not fella. My name is Ezekiel Rawlins.
There you go. There he is. So he's a fictional character, of course, but very, very much loved by many, many people. And let me just say, I'm not going to give it away. You decided to retire him in Blonde Faith. And I'm not going to tell it. But do you miss him or are you tired of people like me asking about him?
I'm glad to hear you ask me anything. And, I don't miss Easy. He's not gone. I mean, when you have the 11 books, he's always going to be there. So I'm happy about Easy. I just have to move on in my writing. That's all.
And one of his biggest fans was, of course, former President Bill Clinton. Do you know whether our current president has given you any love?
I have no idea.
Well, should we do something about that? I mean, should we send him a care package?
Mr. Obama is a very busy man. He has a lot of things that he's doing. I don't need to get in his way with my books. I'm very lucky to have one sitting president like my book. I think I'd be testing fate to try to get two of them to do that.
So.
I'm happy with the new medical bill, and okay, he doesn't have to read my books.
You'd mentioned earlier that you've done so much to challenge the notion that black men don't read, that they're not interested in fiction. I'm thinking about a number of authors who've literally had publishers say, "Well, black folks don't buy books, they don't read." They don't say that anymore. In part because of you, in part because of Terry McMillan, in part because of a number of developments across fiction. So they don't say that anymore. But what do they say? Is there any more work that needs to be done in that area in terms of changing perceptions?
Well, the work that needs to be done is that the publishing industry itself needs to integrate itself. It would be nice if the peoples of color of America were represented in the halls of publishing. That isn't true at this moment, and I would like it to be true because what matters is the future. And it's important because Black and Latino and Native American and Asian cultures understand things in the world that maybe somebody else might not understand. And so it's good to have those people editing and marketing and publicizing work.
Let's talk a little bit about your work with the American Library Association. You're an honorary co-chair of that group's Spectrum Presidential Initiative. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
I think that the idea is that they want to move the libraries into the 21st century and get a broader representation into the halls of the library, and also to begin to understand what exactly it is that the libraries are doing for people in the world. But what's more interesting to me is how they can make libraries work, especially in the inner city.
Well, before we let you go, and we certainly appreciate your stopping by, do you have any wisdom to share?
Wisdom. The older you are, the more you live in the past. This is true. And if you accept it as true, you can gain a great deal of respect for young people, and young people can have a greater voice in the forming and the organization of their world.
Were you prepared for that? My goodness. You just...
No, it's just something
you just had
I
that
think.
Ready? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about that. Walter Mosley is an award-winning novelist. His latest book, Known to Evil, is available now, and he joined us from NPR West. Mr. Mosley, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Ah, thanks for having me. It was great.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.